See, we're going to have to start roping off some sections here. We're getting too many people in the pews. Oh, we got room for a couple more? Okay. Don't have to rope them off yet. Next Easter. Next Easter. Oh, you think I'm kidding. Our second reading is in Mark chapter 16, starting at verse 1. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, brought spices so that they might come and anoint him. Very early on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had risen. And they were saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb?" Looking up, they saw that the stone had been rolled away, although it was extremely large. Entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting at the right, wearing a white robe, and they were amazed. And he said to them, "Do not be amazed. You are here looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who has been crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold, here is the place where they laid him. But go tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you." He is risen. He is risen. That's the proof, you know. That's the proof. Yeah. Every religion has somebody that's coming back. Did you know that? Oh, yeah. They all got some prophet that's going to arise someday. Somebody's coming back. Somebody's going to be incarnated, the new prophet, whatever. And they all have this in common. They're all still in the tomb. They're all still dead. And I have some news for you. As it is, so will it be. The proof. The proof's in the pudding. Remember that old saying? The proof's in the pudding? Huh? Yeah. The proof that Jesus was who he said he was, that Jesus is who the scriptures say he is, the proof is the empty tomb. That's the proof. That's the proof. Now, you need some personal proof? Maybe you don't. Maybe, well, yeah, an empty tomb, big deal. We don't really know where it is. You know, we sort of know where it is. I think we know where it is. They built a fancy little church over it, you know. But I'll tell you the truth. If you're honest with God, God will prove to you personally that Jesus is alive. And well, and as our last answer was, King of Kings. See, there are certain things in the universe that are just this way. You believe them, not believe them. You know, I mean, for you it matters, but in the reality of things it doesn't matter. There are certain things that are truth. Truth. The truth always remains true. There are some things that are true today that won't be true later. But the truth is always the truth. It remains the truth. As an eternal truth, it's not going to change. And this is one of the truths. Jesus is alive and well. He's alive and well. Amen. Not even one amen. Not even one. Amen. Yeah. Yeah. He's alive. He's well. He is who he said he was. He is. Actually, we see him. The reason we had the first reading out of Revelation, we kind of see him like this in our pictures. Okay. These are some decent pictures. Some of the Renaissance pictures were horrible. You know? I mean, I got pictures in my office, my Charlotte office. You know, Jesus. Yeah, it's hard to find a picture of Jesus smiling. And I got four or five of them down in my office in Charlotte. You know, because I really don't like the whole Renaissance pictures of Jesus, you know, this little wimpy guy with a lamb and a staff that, you know, couldn't save anybody, let alone himself. Lord have mercy. The beating he took before he went to the cross would have killed most of us.
Jesus was a man's man. Not some little wimp with a sheep. You're the sheep. But Jesus is a Savior. Suffered, died, was buried, and by the time they got to the tomb on Sunday morning, is gone. Because he is alive forevermore. Which gives me great courage. That means that the rest of the book is going to turn out just like it says. Yeah. I read the last chapter and we win. I read it. I read it every now and then. Yeah. See, sometimes in the midst of my test trials and tribulations, and yes, I have test trials and tribulations like everybody else, go to bed at night thinking, you know, I may never have to deal with this. Most of my test trials and tribulations with people. I may never have to deal with this person again. They might die. I might die tonight. Jesus might come back tonight. And then I wake up in the morning and we go about our day as normal. Yeah, that gives me hope. Gives me hope. They never die. Since they live to be 500 years old, it's amazing. Just amazing. I've told God. This has nothing to do with the sermon, but I've told God. You know, I'm a Christian. I can't kill anybody anymore. I've killed people in the past. But I can't do that anymore because now I'm a Christian. However, your God, you can do anything. May I suggest? Yeah, those are the ones that live to be 500 years old. Yeah. Excuse me. You show what I know. That shows what I know. So he's alive. He's risen. The women are in shock. Everything he said is true. And we can have eternal life through Jesus. We can have a right relationship with God through Jesus Christ. It's not about being good or bad. It's about being saved or not saved. That's what it's about. Relationship, no relationship. That's what it's about. And it's free to us. Wasn't free to God. Cost him his one and only son free to us. Highest price God will ever pay for anything in all of eternity. He paid for our salvation. Now, all the time Jesus is doing miracles, remember we read through Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, some 400 miracles recorded there. And something would happen and Jesus would say, a lot of times he'd say, now don't go tell anybody. Remember that? And what did they do? They went and told everybody. See, so after he's raised from the dead, notice this. After he's raised from the dead, the angel says to the women, go tell his disciples and Peter, because Peter was really having, you know, talk about low self-esteem. Peter was having a bad hair day. He denied the Lord three times after he prayed, me, I would never do that. Why? I would go to prison with you. I would die with you. Jesus who? I'd never heard of the dude. I'm sorry. I'm just a bypass. So he's having a really bad hair day. Go tell the disciples and Peter. Later he tells the disciples, go tell the world. And what does the church world do ever since? We do what he told the other ones. We don't go tell nobody. You ever notice that? See, he says, don't tell. See, I am convinced. I am convinced. You know, I don't care. God's the one that set up all the rules. See, he could have set all the rules up differently. Okay, he could have set them all up opposite of what they are. Don't have just one wife, have 10 wives. And you know what mankind in their rebellion would be saying? I don't want 10 wives. 10, oh man, you know how much that's going to cost me? How come I have to have 10? I just want one. Yeah, it don't matter. He could have said, you know, treat your mother and father terrible. Oh, but I like my mother and father. I want to honor them. It doesn't matter what rules he set up. Mankind in their rebellion would have rebelled against the rule. we're still kind of a little bit like that. Go tell! Well, you know, I just think religion's kind of a personal thing. You know, I want to kind of keep it to myself. Don't want anybody else to go to heaven and get too crowded up there. You know, like they'll start blabbing, you know, they'll fill the place up. And yeah, it's going to be like living in Lansing. You know, all these people up here. They live down little old Charlotte. Yeah, we have 3 stoplights in Charlotte. Why? We don't need any. You know, we just had extra money once, so we went out and bought some stoplights. So we could be like Lansing. Because we've been wanting to be like Lansing ever since I moved to Charlotte 20 years ago. Oh, let's be a little Lansing. Let the ducks cross the street? Yeah, that might be. Hey. Yeah. Don't let heaven get too crowded, so I ain't gonna go tell nobody. Notice though what happened. The early church, of course, did go tell people, took the gospel from little old Jerusalem and that handful of people in the upper room throughout 2 continents to where people in Caesar's household, the right-hand man of Caesar, was saved. And it's mentioned, actually, in Scripture. Affected their whole known world. Yeah. Why? Were they just that good at talking? You know, you met some good talkers? I'm a pretty good talker. I can spin the tail. I can. You know? They didn't get me in the right boat. You should have saw me when I used to drink. Yeah. Oh, no, that was bad. You don't want to see me when I used to drink. No. What happened? They went out and preached everywhere while the Lord worked with them. See, I have that part underlined. That amazes me. It doesn't say they worked with God. It says the Lord worked with them. What? Don't you find that a little amazing yourself? The Lord worked with them. I go and talk, which I'm kind of good at anyway. And the Lord works with me. I thought I'm supposed to be working with Him. See, we don't have God just on Sunday morning, although He was here this morning. Was He not? I thought so. He's on the platform. Was He not out here? Just stay on the platform. Jason, we'll get you all up on the platform. No problem. Because he was on the platform this morning. And when we leave, you know where he does? He goes with us. He goes with us. He'll be on the job in the morning. Or whether he's decent on the golf course. He goes with us wherever we go. He goes with us. And then when we're telling, not only with our mouth, because there's people that do a lot of talking, you know, that just talk, blah, 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 blah. Okay. They say a lot of great, wonderful things. But after you get to know them for a little bit, you know, well, you know, there's really no reason to pay attention because they're just talking. It's not going to happen. But then talking with our lives, our actions, our behavior. Talking not just with our mouth, but backing it up. There are still a handful of people that I do a money contract with on a handshake. There aren't many, but there's a handful I do that with. Because I know them, and I know their word is good. Now they make an agreement, they'll fulfill the agreement, even if things change, they'll fulfill the agreement. There's still some people like that out there. It used to be there was a lot of people out there like that. There's still some out there like that. Their actions back up their words. And if we will go and tell with our mouth, and go and tell with our actions, guess who's backing us up? Yeah. Yeah. The Lord will work with us just like the Lord worked with them and confirmed His word. With signs and wonders follow. Let's think about that as we're driving up here a little bit this morning. A small church like us, and all the stuff we have done this last year. I mean, we raised a ton of money and gave it away. I was talking not too long ago to a pastor. 150 on Sunday morning, $500,000 budget. We were talking, they gave nothing to missions. My jaw just fell open right in the office. Because we gave thousands of dollars this year. I thought, wow. $500,000 and you spend it all on yourself? All of it? All of it on yourself? I don't even have time to tell you what that means. It don't mean anything good. It means, one, you're spending way too much money on yourself. See, signs following. How's a little church like this raise $1,600 to send to Haiti? How do we do that? See, how do we get enough people together to have all that? How many suppers did we have this winter? I mean, we had a bunch of suppers this winter, dude. I mean, we have one a month. But then we had yours. And how many people does it take to put one of these things on? Yeah, a bunch. And they even have fun while they're doing it. Yeah. I mean, you get stuck between that guy and that guy on the serving line, and you are going to have a lot of fun. Yeah, I just can't help it. You know, Barb and I are up there, I mean, we spent the whole night laughing. What a two funny critters. And they just sit in church really nice and quiet and somber and, you know. Say, but boy, you get them on a serving line, look out. Yeah. The Lord worked with them and confirmed His word with signs following. Exactly what we're seeing here. As we go out and talk and show and be the person God created us to be, God's part is to take care of all the other stuff. That's His part. Our part is to show up and be us. His part is to do everything else. Now, is that a good deal or is that a good deal? That's a good deal. Forgiveness of sin through the blood of Jesus. Eternal life because of the resurrection. Right relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And He's going to bless us all week long too.